Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him.
O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not been seen, love in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Children, please stand for Bible class. And I have a brief pastor's message for everyone here. The message is, before he returns to the book of Ephesians, he plans to present the following subjects to everyone. Facts of eschatology, such as the rapture, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, the second advent, the millennium, the Gog and Magog, the great white throne judgment, eternity. So stay tuned. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2:5. Before we get started, we'll take few moments of silent prayer so we can get back in fellowship with the Lord. How we do that is through 1 John 1:9, by confession of our sins, and we simply name them. And at that moment, we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we are once again filled with the Holy Spirit so we can continue on in the spiritual life. Let's go ahead and take a moment and do that now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us another year to continue on in your plan for our lives. We pray that we can concentrate tonight so we can gather everything you have for us to live this life you have designed for us. We pray that we can also continue to focus on you during this life, and thank you for everything your Son has provided for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Ephesians 2, 5. And I'll go ahead and read it. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So here we have the words that we looked at briefly the other day. There's three words in the Greek. There are three words. The first one is made alive. The second one is raised with. And the third one is seated with. And we briefly went through these. We didn't get all the way through them, but we got partially through them. And we started with the word suzo oipoeo, and it means to be made alive with. So the first part of that word we said was soon, and that's the with. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are made alive not on our own, not by ourselves. We're made alive with Christ. And we saw that that was far more than a simple association. It went way deeper than that. And for us, it tells us specifically that we're allowed to participate in God's plan, which by grace that has been given to us the privilege to do so. So the association that we see with the word with is actually the allowance of the participation to be made alive, raised, and also seated, as we'll see shortly. So we should all think of grace when we see the words with, made alive with, raised with, and seated with. So Ephesians 1:19 tells us more specifically what this is talking about. It's talking about the surpassing greatness of God that we've been given. Then we moved from there and got to made alive, the actual full word, which was life itself. We said included two lives, not just one. It first begins with our physical life, and finally with our spiritual life after we're born into this world. So those verses were Genesis 2:7 and Job 33:4. It began with the breath of life from God to Adam, which we also received, but the difference was the fall. Between Adam and the rest of the human race, there was sin that came into the world, and now we are tainted with sin, so we have to be born two parts, dichotomous, without a human spirit. So sin in the world spread to all mankind, and that includes two different kinds of death, spiritual and also physical eventual. Romans 5:12. And this is also, we said, the total depravity of man. There's no way out of this death. There's no way to escape the sentence that we have. So this is complete separation from God. Without a human spirit, we are incapable of understanding anything about God. Incapable. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. I'm moving a little quickly through this because I've covered most of this. So made alive with, we said, is referring to the actual regeneration. And that's what we're talking about here. In Adam all die, made alive with Christ refers to our spiritual life, our new birth at the point of faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And there's many, many doctrines that are involved in this. I think we could stop and talk about, but that's not the point of this message, at least. I'm sure there is, will be in the future, but there are many, many doctrines involved in the doctrine of salvation alone. So regeneration, the definition, I'll give it to you again. It's God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit and imputes eternal life to that human spirit. This is being called born again or regenerated. And now we are trichotomous at that point. John 3:6 tells us that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Our next word was, I guess I could give you something to look at there, is raised with. And that word is raised with, and that's soon ergairo. Soon is your with, raised is ergairo. So we are also not only made alive, but we're raised with Christ. And we saw what that meant. That's our actual identification in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So how are we identified with Him? Colossians 2:12 says, "We have been having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So this is an actual identification that happens, a real baptism, not including water. The baptism is unique to our age. It identifies us with Christ through baptism, so it identifies us with his death and burial, in that we have died to sin after we are born again, and in his resurrection, in how we are spiritually alive and also have access to the newness of life at this point. And that's found in Romans 6:4. So that's an actual identification. It's real. So we've been made alive with him, and we've been raised with him so we can now live that new life. Remember, Romans 6:4 is your... Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's your newness of life. And that's what we're raised up to do. That's the point of being raised up. So we can live this new life. We're designed to live it. We're new creatures in Christ. And this is what we're called to do. So we're identified with his death and his life. He died so that we may die to sin. In his resurrection, he raised all people with him through faith to a new spiritual life. And also victory ourselves over sin and death. So we're actually given a new opportunity for life itself. So this new position, our new position, our spiritual life, and our access to God's divine power is what keeps believers, as Paul says, keep seeking the things above. These are the things we are to seek. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So the things above for us are found in the filling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So our identity is found in Christ. And I think this is the point where we left off on Sunday. Our identity is found in Christ. And the verse we were referring to is 1 Corinthians 12:13, where it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So this is what we actually identify with as believers. We identify in Christ. Not where we're from, or what color our skin is, or our social status, or any of those things. It goes a lot deeper than that. You see, those seem so superficial when we say we are all baptized and identified by one Spirit into one body. This reminded me of, there's a buzzword in today in our world, and I'm sure you've all heard it. It's called diversity. The Scripture teaches us that the true unity of believers are united in Christ. That is true equality. That is the only true diversity that the earth will ever see while a sin nature is on the earth. My personal experience with diversity is to have individuals, unbelievers and believers, gather together in a meeting or a prayer event based off the color of their skin, race, or sexual orientation. Now that sounds a little bit different to me than what the scripture is telling me what unifies people and what makes them identify as one, as equal. So the result of that, of the individuals that gather in these groups and they're identifying by something that's not in Christ, what happens here is whatever certain color or race or sexual orientation they are, they exclude others that are not that certain color, race, or sexual orientation. So this is not just a physical exclusion that we see, oh, I don't belong in that group. It goes farther than that. This exclusion happens in the mind. One group becomes superior to all others in their mind. This isn't reality. This isn't reality. This is man's attempt trying to fix a spiritual problem with a physical solution. When you see a sign posted at your company for a meeting by the color of a certain kind of skin and you're not that color, I can guarantee you, you're probably not welcome there. Now, this is in many different forms, and it's even in many seminaries today, sadly. The scripture says we don't identify ourselves by these superficial things. We shouldn't touch these with a 10-foot pole, honestly. We identify ourselves in Christ. And when we identify ourselves by these things, what we do is we hinder our witness to Jesus Christ. This affects your thinking, and it will affect your association with others. As a Christian, we are not to create barriers with other people. If you remember, I don't recall Jesus exposing himself to one particular set of Jews. He exposed himself to scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Gentiles, crowds, prostitutes, sick, the wicked, those who hated him. Every single person and type of person. So we say it all the time, it's a spiritual problem that can only be fixed by a spiritual solution. As believers in Jesus Christ, we identify in Christ, not by the color of our skin, not by our sexual orientation. And the problem is with that is it bleeds over into your personal life. And that's the problem. So there's no superiority between those positionally in Christ. The playing field is even. We all have the Holy Spirit. We're all born again. That's true equality. That's one in Christ. No superiority. And the funny thing about this is the two most truly diverse organizations that I have seen, I'm only 40 years old, but this is what I've seen up to date, is the military and prison. Those are the true most diverse places that I have ever seen. And you want me to tell you why? It's because they don't have these policies set in place to hire or fire. It's all based on free will. That's why. Of course, this is changing with the military as well. Starting to hire based on different things besides people's choices. So we are identified as Christians with Christ. And that removes all barriers. Our witness can't create barriers. It can't do it. We come in contact with many, many, many people. And in our day, this isn't going to change. This isn't going to change. So what we have to do is identify ourselves with who we really are. So our next word is seated with, which is sukathizo. And we have the first word with. We see that again. Remember, all three of our words have with. And then the second part of that is to sit down. So we have a seat with. And here we're having a seat with someone very special. It says, raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So when I first looked at this, seats came to my mind. You know, what about seats? What about seats? There's, of course, I know there's a few people here that would really like a set of seats at a World Series game at the Astros. Those would be very, very, very important to them. You know, so what's important about seats is not only where you're sitting, but who you're sitting with. Because if you have bad company, the event isn't going to go that great. So it takes two. It takes where you're at and who you're seated with. So here we have the best of the best. We're raised up and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, we have to look at this because I know I'm not in heaven right now. I do know that. So where is Christ seated? Ephesians 1:20 says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. So we're not just talking about World Series game seats, but we're talking about seated with Christ. And like I said earlier, we know we're not in heaven. We know we're not there yet. We're physically here, alive. But we also know that our position with Christ, in union with Him, we are an extension of Him. We consist of His body, and He is our head. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the head, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. So the body is integrally connected to the head. So He is there at the right hand of God, and being that we are His body, in union with Him, we have direct access to God the Father. Direct access. Not only that, but as we've been experiencing, we have access to the divine resources that were given to Jesus Christ while on this earth, including his mind. So our positional seat speaks of our royal family status, and what comes with that royalty is an infinite supply of divine perks. That's what this means to us. If I had the opportunity to sit first class one time in my life, my cousin had an enormous amount of points, so she allowed me to fly first class one time. And the neat thing about first class is you get whatever you want when you want it and how you want it. At least that's how it was 15 years ago. I don't know if that's changed or not. But it reminded me of how much more infinite we are waited on in our seats with Christ. The grace supply is unending. Whatever we ask for, we receive. John 14 says, as Jesus comforts His disciples, He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also. And you know the way where I am going. So our citizenship and home is in heaven. That's where it is. Our citizenship is not here. It's not in Texas. It's not in America. Our true home is in heaven. We're visitors. We are visitors on this earth. And an interesting thing about these three verbs is they're all third person singular, aorist active indicative. So the aorist combined with the indicative tells us that this has already happened. This is a done deal. These things have already taken place. The reality of where we are seated spiritually and positionally is done. This isn't just for casual reading. It's made to show us what we have available and who we are in Christ. And by the way, this happened in an instant. The moment you express faith in Christ is when you got on that plane. And the trip is going on right now. We are on the trip, on the flight now. Waited hand and foot. Waited on hand and foot. So you and I were made alive with the human spirit, raised up from the power of sin and death in order to walk in the newness of life. And on top of all this, seated with Him. He is the head, we are the body. So we have that available to us right here, right now, and we have from the start. Nothing has changed except our response to God. That's all that's changed. Notice from when you started to now, what's changed? God hasn't changed. Nothing's changed on His end. What's changing is our response. We keep finding, oh, these are unlimited. I keep getting this for free. Yeah. So our citizenship and home are in heaven. We're just here for a visit, a brief visit at that. Very, very brief. And what do we do while we're here? Well, we're representing Jesus Christ, who is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. That's what we're doing here. We are representing Him. This should bring a new light to us in our ambassadorship for Christ. It really, really should. Think about this. Just like an earthly ambassador takes a job in an earthly country, what do? They're away from their true home. Their job isn't to be taken lightly. And neither should ours as Christians. This is a real life mission job that we're on and we're representing right now. When we go out the door, we're in represent mode. We can't take that off. We can't turn that off. We can't do it. The earthly ambassador lives in a foreign country to represent their country. All while maintaining the values of their country. Our country is not here. This isn't our home. We have to maintain the values of who we're from. Where do we identify with? That's why we're here. We can't just lose those. Those don't get lost as you get around other unbelievers or people that are out of fellowship. You still have to represent. Keep constantly representing. The earthly ambassador, they don't forget who they are. or where they're from just because they live in another place. And that's our role and our mission. We can't forget who we are. We can't do it. We can't forget. But instead, they proudly and honorably represent their country and their people. Wow. Now, when you relate that to what our role and our responsibility is to represent Him proudly and honorably, and their people, our people, just as we should honorably and proudly represent Jesus Christ on this earth. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself." We're simply on a trip. We're visiting. We're visiting a foreign land, and we have to maintain our true identity. We have to maintain that identity. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." Guess what? That's us. That's who we are. We wait eagerly, not in pessimism, not representing someone that we're not doing on this earth. So we must keep that in mind as we go on in this new year in 2020. We have to keep that in mind. Our representation must never leave our thoughts, and our identification of who we are and who we identify with is Christ Jesus our Lord. And a result of that is your witness. Your witness to others of who Christ is. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for allowing us the opportunity to learn more about who You are, about where we are in relation to You. We realize that we're integrally connected to You. You are the head. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. And we thank You for that. And we pray that we can continue to represent You in a way that we never have before. This is a new year, and our prayer is that we maintain the path down spiritual maturity, and that we continue to glorify You and represent You on this earth and drop barriers between us and other people and allow You to be glorified in the process. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died for our sins, so that now all we have to do is simply trust and believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. By grace we have all been saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God so that you cannot boast. There's no boasting from us. There's nothing we can do. We're dead without Jesus Christ. Thank You for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Please. foundation of my heart. Be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. Please.